text for this morning's sermon is in your bulletin. It's Psalm 46. We've been looking at this psalm since we returned to our public services. And I think I said then that there's probably been more sermons preached on Psalm 46 than any other passage of Scripture in the last couple of months. It's a great psalm that gives us confidence, calls us to put our trust in God alone. So this morning we'll complete our study of looking at Psalm 46. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 11, but I want to read the entire psalm. We have prayed, we have sung, and asked God to speak to us, and this is His word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The message of Psalm 46 is one that is very much needed today. The theme of the whole psalm is found right there in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And that idea gets repeated two more times in the psalm, verse 7 and then verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is with us. God is with us in times of trouble, and 2020 has certainly been a year of trouble. One of my daughters posted a picture on Facebook. It was a picture of a miniature green garbage dumpster with a candle burning inside. And the heading of the picture was Commemorative Candle for 2020. It seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong in this year. We know that that's not true, but it seems that way at times. Now, they evidently didn't have garbage dumpsters back in the Old Testament, and so the psalmist is drawing upon other pictures that are familiar to his audience, other familiar images that depict what it means to live in a time of trouble. And so he has us look at the sea, roaring and foaming, all crazy and chaotic, the earth giving way, the mountains crumbling and sliding into the surging sea. And Psalm 46 is reminding us that this is exactly where you and I live today. And this is where God is with us. And then the picture changes to help us to see how it is that God is with us. Instead of seas and earthquakes and mountains crumbling, it's a glorious city with a river whose streams make glad the citizens of the city. It's a place of happiness and holiness, a hiding place from trouble, a place where people like us can find real help. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And then you hear the chorus reminding us of the great theme of this psalm. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is with us in the midst of the sea, Therefore, we will not fear. God is with us in the midst of the city, the gathering of God's people, the church of Jesus Christ, and she shall not fall. God is with us. The Lord of hosts, the God of heaven's armies, God our Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. God is with us. He is a very present help in time of trouble. He's not just with us during the Cuban Missile Crisis or Hurricane Hugo or 9/11. He's present with us right now in the days of COVID-19 and the national unrest of 2020. God is with us. He's not just up there in heaven, unconcerned about what's going on in our lives, and he's not just back there in the Old Testament in the days of Psalm 46. He's a very present help in times of trouble, and God himself is with us in the person of his resurrected Son, Jesus Christ, who has already defeated death, and even time and space today poses no barrier to him, the resurrected Christ, being with us today through the ministry of his Holy Spirit. And God is with us. Us, wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked, self-serving sinners. It's unbelievable, isn't it? That God is with us. And yet that's what we believe, and that's what we know to be true. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Who's that? Us. I saw a hand or two there. That's us. Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Again, that's us by the sovereign grace of God. And so that's the theme of Psalm 46, and that's the bottom line message that God has for you in this psalm. And now this morning I want us to look at how the psalm concludes. First of all, there's an invitation to come and see. We need to open our eyes and we need to see what God is doing. Verse 8, come, behold, see the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. On earth. Right here in this uncertain world where you and I live. Verse 2, earth is a place that can give way. Verse 6, earth is a place that can melt. And now we're being told that earth is a place of desolation and destruction. Earth is a place of political and social unrest. It's a battlefield. Earth is the place where wars are being fought. Now, earth has always been like this. I mean, this is Psalm 46 way back there in the Old Testament, and he's talking about his world, and this is the way the world has been and always will be. 2020 is not showing us anything new. And so earth has a bright future, very much unlike a dumpster fire. Earth is the very place where God says, I will be exalted in all the earth. And isn't this how we've been taught to pray? Thy will be done, where? As it is, where? In heaven. Jesus told us to pray those words, thy will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. And so this is the invitation. Come and see what God is doing here on earth. He's at work in the midst of the sea. He's at work in the church, the city of God, and he's at work here on the battlefield of human history on earth. Come and see what God is doing. It's not just watch the evening news, watch the online news to see what people are doing. That's not what his invitation. His invitation is, come and see what God is doing. Verse 6, he utters his voice, the earth melts. Now, verse 8, he has brought desolations on the earth. Verse 9, he makes wars to cease. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots. God is doing something. God is at work. We're not deists. We're not those who think that God just created the world and that he's going to sit back and just watch it self-destruct or just run down or run on its own. God is working. He's actively and intimately involved in the affairs of this world. Now, sometimes his work is a strange work. We don't understand it. Verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. I didn't realize it until afterwards that that's our call to worship. Strikes that note immediately from 2 Chronicles 7. When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or when I command the locusts to devour the land, when I send pestilence among the people, who's doing that? It's God. Come and see the work of the Lord. And so sometimes it is a confusing work. It's a strange work. It's not what we would expect, but then sometimes it's a healing work. Verse 9, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. In it all and through it all, God is causing all things to work together and to work for his glory and for our good. God can use a very destructive thing to bring about his will. Tearing down the Berlin Wall, the destruction of Jerusalem to move Israel to repentance, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, is that not a destructive, hateful work? And yet, who is doing that? Jesus is not just suffering as a victim. It's God himself who has sent his son into this world to die for our sins. And so God can use a very destructive thing to bring about some good. Now, God's not being mean. God's not being ugly. It's not that God has lost his temper and decided to do something to show people who's God and who's not. Everything that he does is done in the light of his eternal wisdom and the passion that he has for blessing his people, the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, down here, we can't always see that. What we see is the world around us, what's happening here on earth. But that's exactly why the psalmist invites us. Open your eyes. Come and behold. Come and look. And see that God is at work. It's not just happening. God is at work. It doesn't solve any of our problems to say, well, God loves us and he'd like to help us, but he's not able. He just lacks the power. If something bad happens in a person's life, it can't be that God wants to be mean to people or something. So it must mean that he loves us and he would really like to help us, but he just can't. Or that God has decided, I'm just going to stand back and I'm going to let people figure this out for themselves. And, you know, they'll learn a lesson better that way if they struggle a little bit. That's not what God is doing. I mean, this whole psalm would be nonsense if that's what's going on in the world. You know, verse 1 would not be true. It wouldn't have any meaning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 4 would mean nothing. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Or verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And it means verse 10 would have no meaning. Be still. and know that I am God. But that is true. And so next comes this invitation to come and rest. Be still. Now we have a little problem. Who's God talking to? You know, it's unclear how the psalmist is depicting God. Is God there looking out of his window, for instance, and he's seeing all the rioting nations and everybody who's in an uproar, and he's saying, "You be still. I will be exalted. I am God. I will be exalted in all the earth. You be still." Or is God looking inside the city and he's looking at you and me with love and care and saying, "My beloved child, my beloved people, be still and know that I am God." Which is it? It's both. Both of them are true. Both are true and both are connected. God really is that big to accomplish two things at one time, to talk to the nations and then to talk to his people. You see something of that in Psalm 2. We won't go through and read that, but if you get an opportunity this afternoon, read through Psalm 2 and note the dialogue that's going on between Father, Son. The nations start out with their raging, and then the Father says something, the Son says something, the Holy Spirit then invites people to come and embrace the Son. But you know the psalm. It begins with the nations raging and the kings of the earth aligning themselves against God and against his anointed. And they're saying, you know, we don't want to live by God's rules. We don't want anything to do with the Bible. They're throwing it off. And what does God do? He laughs. He laughs at them and then he speaks to them in his anger. He's telling the nations, "Be still, I am God, I will be exalted." But once you get to the end of Psalm 2, "Blessed are all those who take refuge in him." As God tells the nations to be quiet, it's having this wonderful effect on his people. They're able to hear that, and they're able to conclude this is a blessing for us, that God is in control. Be still and rest in my presence. We read the words from Matthew 11 earlier, where Jesus gives the same invitation to his disciples. Beginning at verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God is certainly looking at us and calling us to be still and to rest in him. In our world, our nation, our neighborhoods may very well come apart at the seams. I mean, God doesn't promise to keep everything running smoothly. God's promises are much bigger than that. But our world, our nation, our communities, our neighborhoods may very well come apart at the seams this year. Our comfortable way of life may simply slip away and sink into the sea. And those who have never had a comfortable life, those who have always been mistreated and abused and marginalized, they may continue to slip and slide into the sea. And we may all end up together in that dumpster fire. But that's not the end of the story. It's not the end of Psalm 46. Don't just listen to the sound of war with all the death and destruction. Don't just watch the Facebook feeds go by or Twitter or whatever is out there. I don't even know what's out there anymore. Don't just listen to those voices. Listen to this voice that says, "Be still and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The invitation is come and rest, but it's also come and know. How can we rest? What are we supposed to know so that we can come and rest at God's invitation? So here the psalmist is inviting us to turn and to look beyond the stuff that's going on right in front of us, to look over the heads of the crowds of the people that are there who are raging against God, and to see what's really going on. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Everything looks pretty chaotic right now, but God's word says that God has a plan and a purpose. You read the book of Revelation, and that one thought is the key to the whole book. God's got a plan, and he's working that plan out. Now, time for a pop quiz. You don't have to take out paper and pencil. It's been over 10 years since we studied the book of Revelation together. But when we studied that book, I would try to remind you from time to time that if you're ever reading Revelation and you get lost, or if you're just getting lost in life, there were two chapters you needed to go back to. Some are cheating and looking at their sermon outline. Open book tests. What chapters? 4 and 5. And they're probably the shortest chapters that are in the book. It's easy to go back and read it. Because when I read those chapters and when I look at that picture there, what I see is the control room for the whole universe and for all human history. You've got chapters 1 through 3 and a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ in his resurrection glory. It's the transfiguration that John didn't put in his gospel. He puts it in the book of Revelation. Here's Jesus walking in the midst of the churches. And then with chapters 4 and 5, we have this picture of who's really in control. What's really going on? Before you get to all of the garbage dumpster fire stuff that's going on in the rest of Revelation, the vials and the plagues that are taking place, John wants us to see right at the beginning of that book that God, who created the universe and God who is driving the universe along, is seated on the throne. And his son, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is going forth and he's conquering. A couple of passages from Revelation. There is a throne. Somebody is in charge. Revelation 4. "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, and one seated on the throne." You know, God has all the wisdom, he has all the power, all the authority to do what he pleases, and to him it's all making sense. Verse 5, "From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God, and before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal." Thunder. I mean, it's the voice of the Lord that we talked about last Sunday. The voice of the Lord thunders. And then there's fire. There's the Spirit of the Lord who is before the throne. But what I want you to see is that sea of glass. Seen from God's perspective, all the craziness and the chaos that you see in Psalm 46 is all smoothed out, crystal clear. Everything's at rest, perfect order. it is as God knows that it is and as God has ordained. To Him, it is all clear and quiet and at rest. God is in control. And then there's a scroll. Revelation 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals. Verse 5. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain." It's a picture of the eternal decrees of God. God's perfect plan for the universe. It's all written down in a scroll, as it were, front and back. There's so much stuff that happens in human history, and yet God has written it all down. It's all been planned out. His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. It makes perfect sense to God, and it expresses his perfect will. And then, beginning with chapter 6, what you see is the Lamb doing what? He takes that plan of God, breaks the seals, unfolds, begins to unroll it. He's making stuff happen. In Christ, all things hold together. Christ is the very center of history. He's the meaning of history. And he is the one who is causing God's perfect plan to be enacted and to become a reality. It's a picture of God's providence. Not one thing is left out of God's control. Nothing is outside of his plan. Nothing catches him by surprise. There's nothing that comes along where he says, "You know, I didn't think of that. I guess I got to do something else." Everything is determined. There's a throne in heaven. God's perfect will is written out in the scroll. And so from his throne in heaven and with this scroll in his right hand, he shouts to both the rebels and to us, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Friends, come. Open your eyes and see what God is doing in this world. Don't just look at what people are doing. Don't just look at what you're doing. Look at what God is doing. See that he's at work. And then be still. Rest in the sure and certain knowledge that he is God and you are not. And then know for certain that God is on the throne and working all things according to his perfect plan. And then join in with verse 11. I mean, verse 11 is our response of faith. Look at it. The Lord of hosts is with who? 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 Us. Okay. The God of Jacob is what? Our fortress. Thanks for getting the emphasis right here. Yes, he's a fortress. Fortress for you, fortress for me. He's our fortress. And so this is our response of faith. Verse 11, let's believe it and let's say it together. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of this psalm, and we pray that you would work this truth into our minds and hearts so that when we wake up in the morning and when we lie down at night to go to sleep, these words will be ready, that we will be able to draw upon them to know that you are our refuge, our strength, the very present help in trouble, that you are the God who is with us. You are with us here in the church of Jesus Christ, You were with us to make us glad and to make us strong and to make us confident. And you were with us on the battlefield when there's so much trouble around us. So sanctify this word to our hearts. Work it into our minds and hearts so that it has that effect by the power of your Holy Spirit of forming our characters. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.